a whole lot of nothing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Sometimes doing nothing means something. In this case, the Fed left its key interest rate alone, and they threw a party on Wall Street. The Dow and the S&P 500 had their best days in 4 months yesterday. The Dow gained almost 3%, 331 points to 11,615. The S&P 500 climbed 35 to 1284, and the NASDAQ was up 64 points to 2349. Overseas this morning, the markets closed 1 to 2% higher in Asia. European shares are up a fraction so far. Oil is at $119 a barrel. Bond insurers are some of the biggest casualties of the subprime mess. This week, we'll find out more about how much damage has been done to companies like MBIA and AMBAC. They report their profits, or lack thereof. From New York, Alisa Roth has more.
Companies like MBIA and AMBAC make their money by guaranteeing bonds. If an issuer defaults, the guarantors pay the investor the principal and the interest. Used to be, bond insurers made most of their money on municipal bonds, but over the last few years, they started guaranteeing mortgage-backed bonds, too. As mortgages have gone belly up, the insurers have found themselves in trouble. Gary Ransom is an equity analyst at Fox Pitt Kelton. He says there's another reason times are tough.
The municipal business still exists, but the amount that is insured has definitely gone down substantially.
Kelton says it's not clear when the muni bond business will pick up or what the bond insurance business will look like when the market gets better.
We will probably have companies that only insure municipalities and do nothing else.
Municipalities don't default nearly as often as other issuers, so the bond insurance business would be less risky, but also less profitable. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
The world's cheapest car, the Nano, might not be as cheap as once thought, at least for the company making it, India's Tata. The cost of steel and other raw materials is making it hard for Tata to stick to its promise of selling the Nano for $2,500 in India. We're joined by reporter Mehul Srivastava. So what does Tata plan to do?
Well, there's no chance they're going to scrap the project. This is a big, in a way, vanity project for Ratan Tata, the CEO of the group, and he's made this promise. The cars are already under construction, and they're already going to be rolling out in October. But what he had told his investors was that they would plan to make money off of the slightly upscale models of the Nano. The base model sells for $2,500, but doesn't have air conditioning or power windows or anything. But the slightly more expensive ones, which will sell for about $3,000, $3,500, will have air conditioning. They'll have these things that will make it possible to charge consumers more.
No air conditioning in India?
That's tough, I know.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but you know, they're trying to sell this to people who are driving around on motorcycles. And for them, being safe inside a car is a lot better than driving around on these tiny roads in India on a motorcycle with their wife and a baby in the back.
And the price of steel and the price of raw materials, is it going to affect its market in other countries differently than its domestic market?
I think that in international markets, they can price the car slightly higher. The reason in India why they're wedded to the $2,500 price is because this car became known as the 100,000 rupee car. And you can't sell a 100,000 rupee car for 120,000 rupees. You got to sell it for 100,000 rupees. So when they're trying to sell overseas, they're not wedded to that 100,000 rupee model. They can probably add a couple hundred dollars here and there to see if they can make profits on it.
All right, Mehul Srivastava in Delhi, India. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Bush arrives in China tomorrow. The next day, he'll attend the Olympic opening ceremonies and the unveiling of a new American embassy in Beijing. The relationship between China and the U.S. is constantly evolving. Commentator Robert Reich has these thoughts.
The real competition lurking behind the upcoming Olympic Games is between democratic capitalism and authoritarian capitalism. You see, for years, American policy toward China assumed that trade and economic growth there would generate a large Chinese middle class, and this middle class would demand democratic reforms. Well, we were right on the first part. The Games will showcase a Chinese middle class so big that almost as many Chinese now use cell phones and the Internet as do Americans, and soon as many will own cars. But we were wrong about the democracy part. We thought capitalism and democracy went hand in glove. They don't. Economic reforms in China are well underway. The Chinese can own property and invest, trade what they wish and buy what they want. Private enterprise is in, collectives are out. But when it comes to civil and political rights, China today is where it was almost two decades ago, at the time of Tiananmen Square. Authoritarian capitalism works wonders if all you care about is getting ahead economically and being able to afford more stuff. Never before in history have so many people gained economic ground so fast as in China over the last two decades. But if you're someone with a grievance, or you want to criticize those in power, or you're a Tibetan or ethnic minority, or you happen to like clean air, you're out of luck. Democratic capitalism should win in the end because it responds far better to what people want, not only as consumers, but also as citizens. Yet right now, this contest is not so clear. The Chinese economy is booming while we are in deep trouble. You might think of our upcoming presidential election as our own Olympic Games. It will showcase to the world how well democratic capitalism still works.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Feel free to share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. You can also find out details about our podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.